Thanks for listening to Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And now, back to the man who never talks with food in his mouth, David Craig.
I never thought that we would talk about Honey Boo Boo on Food Talk STL, but today we are going to talk about Honey Boo Boo, among other things in this segment. And in the our last segment, we'll talk to Justin Hafley. I actually spoke to him a couple of days ago at the Tavern in Valley Park at Big Bend and Doherty Ferry, a great restaurant in the burbs. Okay, Honey Boo Boo, it's a reality TV show. If you've never seen it, you don't want to watch it. It's one of those things, honestly, if you turned it on, I think it's on Discovery or it's on TLC. If you turn it on, you know, really, you can't last more than a couple of minutes with that show. And these people live in rural Georgia, and they actually put subtitles. So you can, I'm from the South, and I can usually understand Southern people, but the subtitles help. Okay, so it's this little girl. She's a beauty pageant, you know, kind of like the girl that got murdered out in Denver. What's her name? You know, JonBenet Ramsey. Thank you, Matt. Okay, so Honey Boo Boo, she's this cute looking. She has been selling Girl Scout cookies via her website, or I'm sorry, her Facebook page. And she's not even a Girl Scout. It's one of her friends. And so she said, oh, well, I'll do that. Now, the Girl Scout people in Atlanta are getting a little ticked about this. Now, let me say, I love the Girl Scouts. My daughter was a Girl Scout for many years. My wife was a Girl Scout leader for many years, devoted a lot of time and energy to that. I have, in my radio career, promoted Girl Scout cookie sales to the hilt in St. Louis. And if you go to your Schnucks or Deerbergs today, you're likely to find some Girl Scouts sitting there in the front of the store, and they'll be selling Girl Scout cookies. And I suggest that you buy some. It's a great way to support the organization. But the Girl Scout people in Georgia got upset. They contacted the person running Honey Boo Boo's Facebook page and said, online selling is off limits because, quote, I'm reading from TMZ, it defeats the whole purpose of selling the cookies, to teach the girls all sorts of things, including goal setting, people skills, etc. But the sales that are already made will count. Now, see, here's my comment. If you really want to teach the girls, and I've certainly walked around my neighborhood with my daughter on many occasions in cold weather selling Girl Scout cookies, and thanks to my wonderful neighbors for supporting very generously. But I think most Girl Scout cookies in St. Louis are sold by mom and dad showing up at work with the order form. And you go around from desk to desk and you say, hey, my daughter's selling Girl Scout cookies. You want to buy some? And I would estimate that the majority of Girl Scout cookies that are sold in St. Louis are sold via mom and dad in the workplace. So for them to jump on Honey Boo Boo, I don't know, it's a little, I think the word is disingenuous. This is Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. I'm David Craig, big eating and drinking wheat. Went last Saturday to the Beer Fest at Mulan. Amazing variety, and what a great crowd of people there. On Sunday, we had brunch at Vendicette, wonderful omelet. So, Monday night, we went to the St. Louis At Home magazine party at the Cheshire. We went upstairs into their events area there, had some very good food, and I had Smithwick's, a beer I've heard of but never tasted. I liked it, and congratulations to Leslie Tunney, the editor of St. Louis At Home magazine. It's just out in stores, and it's a culinary issue for this quarter. Tuesday, we went to Tucano's in St. Charles, a Brazilian churrascaria. That's the word, but it's an all-you-can-eat restaurant. I liked the garlic parmesan beef and the fried bananas. Yeah, fried banana chunks in their salad festival, they call it. And they're open out there, by the way. It's right where Noah's Ark used to be. Wednesday night, we went to Achero in Maplewood for the Chef Wars. Molly Bernstein was the winner, but I think Chewy's mushroom crepe, Chewy Lopez, made a mushroom-stuffed crepe that was my favorite, and Molly's lemon curd dessert dish was pretty good. We're going to have Jim Fiala on the show next week to talk about Chef Wars and some other things. And I tasted some wine from Washington State. It was called King Cole Wine. And it was actually brought by somebody who works for a local big coal company. Thursday, business-related event in the Midtown Alley area. Happy 10th anniversary to Mercury Labs. And they were catered by Southwest Diner and met Jonathan Jones, the owner. Maybe we'll have him on the show here sometime soon. Last night we ate at home. My wife made a great salad. Upcoming guests on Food Talk STL, Claudia McKenna. She's an Irish chef. Evan Hyatt from Six Row Brewing. Kyler Humphrey, a local attorney who works with a lot of restaurant people. Couple of news items to pass along here. Joe Mason reported yesterday via Facebook that the Fatted Calf in Clayton is closed, I guess, again. The Maplewood Coffee Crawl will be April 6th. Did that last year. Big fun. Pappy's having ownership issues, reported by Joe Holloman on STL today. The Top Chef winner was Kristen Kish, who came back via the Last Chance Kitchen. She was voted off the show or eliminated several weeks ago. She kind of went into the loser's bracket. They had the grand finale on Wednesday night. Took 8 hours to record the one-hour show, according to one of the things I read. Should we, and I'm asking this seriously, should we on this show and maybe with some other food media people in town start a campaign reaching out to Andy Cohen, the head guy of Bravo Network, suggesting that there be a St. Louis chef testant? We spoke about that a little bit last week. And, you know, it's not like Andy Cohen cast the people for that show, but he certainly does hold a little bit of sway over the producers who do that. I have movie reviews. Dinner and a Movie featured in the Post-Dispatch in the Go section yesterday and online. And even in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, they wrote a big article about a lot of places around the country where you can go and see a movie and have, well, you know, decent food, more than just a hot dog and popcorn. There are a couple of new movies this week that I'll talk about. My reviews are posted at DavidCraigMovies.com. Jack the Giant Slayer is the big one. It's got great stars, tremendous special effects, and, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk. It's a classic story, but there's something missing in this movie, and I don't know what. It's just, it's hard to put my finger on, but it's just, you know, it doesn't, there's not as much, you know, magic and enchantment and specialness. It's not a movie, Jack the Giant Slayer. If you go see it, you know, you'll walk out and you say, yeah, it's okay. You won't say, oh, I got ripped off. But you won't say, man, that was great. I'm glad we went to see it. You know, you can wait for the DVD or pay-per-view or whatever. And then there's this other movie, A Place at the Table. And I went to a screening a couple of weeks ago. It's opening this weekend at the Tivoli. And it's also available on iTunes. You can rent it on iTunes, I think, for $6.99. And it features a lot of people. It's not like the people in A Place at the Table are dying of starvation, but a lot of Americans don't have the food choices you and I have. And they do, like these kind of movies tend to do, a great job of focusing on real humans. There's a little girl in a town in Colorado, there's another little girl in a town in Mississippi, and a young single mom with two kids in Philadelphia. And, you know, they're the central characters. Their problems are heartbreaking. The single mom, for instance, finally gets a job, but her pay puts her out of eligibility for food stamps. The pay is not really high enough for her to feed her kids and pay for daycare. Jeff Bridges is in the movie offering his thoughts about the nation's food problems. Tom Colicchio of Top Chef is there. Of course, I mean, he's a hunger activist, but his wife is a co-director of the movie, so, you know, that's probably how she got him. There are some statistics and declarations that come without sufficient attribution. And like I said, some of the people who are, you know, you would say hunger victims, they're actually obese. So it's, like I said, it's not like in Africa in the 80s where people are starving, but it's a movie that will touch you and points out a lot of reasons why these people are having issues. They talk about food deserts where folks can't get proper produce, but they can get plenty of potato chips. The movie A Place at the Table does have some upbeat moments. There's a Colorado church that has a free hot meal each week to any and all. there's a group of Mississippi school kids, and they show them actually preferring honeydew melon as a snack over junk food. And then the Philadelphia single mom taking a lot of pride in her accomplishment. So it does bring attention to some vital concerns and offers some suggestions. And there's also some cool movie music from one of my favorite bands, The Civil Wars.